before I read the spoiler alert and pretend I was good. Now, come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up, y'all. N-E-R-D
up. N-E-R-D up. It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson. Nerd up.
Good afternoon, Expo goers. Just to let you know, the live podcast is going on now, so if you want to laugh and be amused,
go somewhere else
with microphones, come on down to the auditorium area and listen to a live podcast. That is going on right now, starting at 2 o'clock. Thank you. And also, the food trucks are still serving us food.
Thank you, food trucks.
Thank you, food, yeah.
Thank you, food trucks.
All right, well. Well, I guess we'll get things started. Welcome everybody listening to the 2018 Indiana Toy and Comic Expo Super Podcast. I was just gonna say, you know, the Avengers Infinity War was considered the biggest crossover event, but I beg to disagree. I think we're gonna give Avengers. What's that?
Scooby Natural.
Oh yeah.
Well, it's hard to beat the combination of cartoon Ghost Hunters and the Winchester Brothers. So, I think we'll just go on down the line here, starting all the way to our left.
I'm Isaac Wilson. I'm with the Nerd Up Podcast.
I'm Tim Coker, also with the Nerd Up Podcast.
And I'm Guilty Wilson with the Nerd Up Podcast.
I'm Derek Cumberland with the ITCE Podcast.
Woo! I'm Rachel Friend with the Five-ish Fangirls.
I'm Jake Johnson with the World's Almost Finest Podcast.
And I'm Travis Ware with the World's Almost Finest Podcast.
Sometimes.
Yes. Sometimes.
Well, as far as like topics and things like that, I think a good icebreaker topic, just kind of everybody's thoughts, the state of the DC movie universe versus the MC. I'm sure we've all talked about this on our own shows many times, but never as a group. So it'd be kind of interesting to get everybody's perspective.
There's
it's kind
no
of a nice icebreaker.
There.
Well, you know, I think the best starter of this conversation is one of our podcasts, Tim Coker made a very nice comment about how DC tried. And anyway, Tim, what's your feelings on the DC? I think this is the best starter on this conversation.
Oh, I don't know the specific comment you're referencing, so I wish I could come up with that particular pearl of majesty. But, you know, the thing about DC, man, I don't know. That's all I got. Okay, it all goes back to how these things were created, right? Marvel was created to be one universe. Everybody knows each other. They all live in New York, right? Tony Stark's in Long Island, I guess, whatever. That's really New York, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, DC, they've all got their own cities, but then, you know, in the 60s, Marvel's eating their lunch. They're like, oh, we got to make these guys more of a shared universe. And so all these characters that were not designed to go together suddenly have to go together. And it's even worse now because now they all have to dress like Batman because that's the only character that, like, the DC brain trust likes. No, they like Wonder Woman now, too, because she sold some tickets. But,
right.
So what you're saying is Ted Turner, who bought WCW and ruined wrestling, bought the DC Universe. And
yes, exactly.
Thanks, so, Ted Turner.
So basically what I'm saying is that, like, Marvel has such a head start on all of this working together, and all they have to do is make movies. Make superhero movies. I mean, Warner Brothers has to make so many kinds of movies. They have so many different things they have to offer. And I think they're just starting to put people in charge of DC movies that actually care about the comics. Like, I'm not a Geoff Johns fan personally, but I know that he really cares passionately about the comics in a way that David Goyer doesn't and Zack Snyder doesn't. You know, I mean, if you look at Man of Steel, that's a movie made by and for people who don't like or understand Superman, right? It is you know, and I know a lot of people who like the movie, but coincidentally almost none of them actually like Superman, you know. So I think that by embracing Wonder Woman and that going really well and trying something that's maybe not quite as depressing, you know, I think that they maybe saw their way through to something better. And I thought Aquaman was a lot of fun, you know, as the sort of discount store Thor in the Justice League movie. I think he's going to be fun. I'm actually kind of guardedly looking forward to that movie. The Aquaman. Is anybody else looking forward to the Aquaman movie?
Oh, yeah, no. Definitely.
So. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I'm not even looking forward to it for the reason that a lot of women are looking forward to it.
No.
Momoa does nothing for me.
Out there, show of hands, who's looking forward to the Aquaman movie?
Yeah, yep.
Okay, that's fewer than 50%.
I can almost guarantee Aquaman will do halfway decent.
Yeah.
And I would love to see the box office breakdown after it comes out.
Yeah.
How many of that were women over a certain age bracket?
Well, at least Jason Momoa's got solid comedy chops, so he should be able to pull
something. He's got solid something.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the drinking game to happen when you're watching Aquaman so you can drink every time he goes, yeah! Oh, man!
Good point. Well, at least he's speaking English in this one, so.
Yeah. I don't know. The Aquaman that I like is the one in the Brave and the Bold cartoon. You guys watch that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. My God, why can't they just put that guy in the movie? I'd watch 10 movies of that guy.
I'm more into the Aquaman and SpongeBob. But
not the one on Family Guy?
Honestly, if you look at all of the movies, if you start with the start of the MCU, so we say 10 years ago to now, and look at all the movies that Marvel's released, and then you look at DC, anything that's been released as part of a DC property in the past 10 years, honestly, my favorite movie of a DC property, whether it's the DC universe or whatever the heck they're calling it these days, is the Batman Lego movie.
Yeah.
It really is the best out of all of them.
It's the best DC movie to come out in the past 10 years.
Yeah. I gotta ask, in the DC world, have you guys seen the Teen Titans Go movie yet?
No, I've heard good things about that. So.
It is remarkable.
So good.
It's hilarious. They're constantly making jokes about how the DC universe is dark versus the Marvel universe. Deathstroke, they keep calling him Deadpool. It's just a constant fun. I mean, and there's a scene, I'm not going to go into too much detail, but there's a scene where Robin is envisioning his launch into having his own action hero movie, and it's the Lion King opening sequence. Aquaman chews grass. So I'll leave it at that, but that's the best DC movie
I've
seen.
I'm going to have to go see that just for that.
It's really funny. And I went to see it with my wife, and my wife is not a fan. She's fan adjacent. So she spent 20 years with me. She's learned a lot about the stuff she enjoys, and she just doesn't carry it around with her like a giant bunch of luggage like I do, you know? But coming out of the Teen Titans movie, she's like, oh my God, I finally get it. I feel so sorry for DC fans. because the movie spends so much time acknowledging Marvel's running the show and how Marvel is kind of omnipresent everywhere. Like, there's so many Marvel references in this DC movie. She's like, I genuinely feel sorry for DC fans because they can't even have their own movie without having Marvel all over it. Mm. You know?
True.
Isn't there a Stan Lee cameo in this?
Yes, there is. Yes. Oh, Stan Lee cameo.
Stan Lee cameo, and it has like three phases, and I only like the first phase of it.
Yeah, but still.
That first phase of it is amazing.
What's amazing to me is that it's taken Warner Brothers this long to put out movies like Justice League or movies with a lot of characters into them, especially consider what Marvel's done with all the legal loopholes. I mean, just with Spider-Man alone, all the different loopholes and all the ball playing they had to do with other companies to bring this character, what was originally going to be just, you know, for Captain America, but then eventually became its own movie, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. You know, Marvel was able to do all of that. Warner Brothers does not have that problem.
No.
They own all of their characters, so literally at any time, they can pump out a Justice League movie or a TV show. It's always, to me, it's kind of the opposite for TV and movies. But DC, the TV shows are usually really, really good.
Yes.
Movies, not so much. And on Marvel, the movies are really good. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, what is it doing? Cloak and Dagger? Not so much, you know. I think that's kind of an odd dynamic between the two companies.
Well, and I always looked at, like, well, you mentioned Cloak and Dagger. That's on Freeform, which was ABC Family.
Right.
Supposed to have been like a family-oriented. I think that's what they tried to go with. I enjoyed it. It was interesting. But you go to the Netflix Marvel.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Those rock, especially if you like hallway fights. But for the most part, they've got those right. There's a couple of moments that they messed up, like Iron Fist. But other than that, they're TV shows. But is Netflix considered TV?
I don't really consider Netflix, especially since you can binge watch the entire thing at once. I consider that
It's a 10-hour movie.
It's a 10-hour movie, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, when you have full access to the entire story and don't have to wait week to week,
right.
I really don't. Because there's no risk involved in that. You know what I mean? As far as a viewer, like, you don't have to worry about investing anything into a character and then worrying about if they're going to be around next episode. You can literally just pop up the next one and just go from there. And usually with Netflix, when it comes to Marvel, they're cliffhangers from one of... I almost wonder why they even bother with cliffhangers at the end of episodes. Because not only is it pointless because you've got the next episode ready to go, but they often will resolve that cliffhanger in the first 30 seconds of that episode.
Yep. So, yeah, that's one of the... Okay, so DC, let's say... well, animation. Let's talk about animation on DC side. DC's animation is phenomenal.
Right.
Beautiful stuff. That's one of the best stuff out there. Marvel animation...
It's almost non-existent.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Ultimate Avengers 1 and 2, and then there was, like, Next Avengers was when they were, like, the great-grandkids or whatever of the originals.
It's basically Disney XD.
Exactly.
Marvel Animation is Disney XD.
And it's a shame, too, because they've got so much material that would be perfect for some great animated movies. I mean, take a look at, Frontier? What's the Justice League?
New Frontier.
That right there is a phenomenal animated movie. It's like you're watching it, you don't, after a while, you're like, oh, it's animated.
It's like, yeah, it's literally like watching Darwin Cook come to life.
Yes, it's beautiful stuff, and Marvel needs to do that. Just once.
I gotta say, the Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes series was really solid. Really funny.
That was a decent one.
Mm-hmm. Deep Cuts and MODOK. Anything that has MODOK, like, done well.
Right. The Lego series has been pretty good as far as the cartoons.
Yeah.
There's a few kind of standalone that kind of quasi take place in the MCU, or at least they borrow that world. And I mean, of course, it's not going to be canon, obviously, but they still at least borrow from it. There's MCU references and things like that. So those are, but as far as like the movies go, and they're pretty much. Just whatever.
There's a new animated series that's getting ready to...
The Spider-Man.
Drop.
Yeah, they're going to do the Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Well, it's a movie. That's into the Spider-Verse or whatever.
No, there's a series, the one with Jeff Cameron.
The Defenders or whatever.
Yeah.
Secret Warriors or one of those. It's got with Squirrel Girl and...
Because females.
Yeah, because Quake's going to be in it.
Right.
Yeah,
Chloe Bennett is voicing it. So.
Yeah, that's right. That's going to be on Disney, though, I imagine.
Everything will end up on the Disney streaming service whenever they get around to launching
Speaking of streaming services, how many people here are going to, regardless of how bad we say the DC movies are, how many of you guys are going to subscribe to the DC Universe streaming?
Not going to bother with it.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, really. there's nothing that's going to be on there that I don't already own. because even though I may not like the movies, as a collector, as a completionist, I will still buy them. Like, even though I hate Suicide Squad, I still got the ultimate edition of that movie. For me, there's really... It's going to depend on what all they have to offer. If they're just doing movies, like just DC movies and the TV show, if you're a collector of those kinds of things, I really don't see the need for that without some kind of other alternative content. Like, if you're getting, like, ABC programming on top of that, or, you know, some kind of... something to go along with other than, I guess it wouldn't be ABC, I guess it would be NBC.
Right.
But, something more to offer than just straight up DC titles.
Maybe it'd be worth it if it was like, if they had all of the old animated Batman series, like Batman Beyond, The Brave and the Bold, and
if they could tie that into,
like the original Teen Titans, and just every single, like, animated DC, like...
Like a back catalog of everything.
Yeah.
That'd be an awesome. Well, I'll tell you the one thing that's got me on this is the Titan series they're going to be launching. And the two words that make that Titan series look really awesome. No kids? Batman.
Yeah. There we go. You told me how to watch my mouth.
Those two words coming out of Nightwing's mouth are what make that.
Well, he was Robin at the time, remember?
Robin. He wasn't a Nightwing yet, but still, exactly.
I think the thing about the DC app, and especially the Titans, so we can, not just those words coming out of Robin's mouth, but also the fact that you got, like, Hawk and Dove straight up murdering people.
Yes.
Because you see her take her wings and just slice some guy, I don't know if she sliced his leg or something, but the thing that kind of sounds interesting to me is the fact that they're also doing a new Swamp Thing TV series, I think they said they're going to do Swamp Thing on there. And that recent announcement came out, said Doom Patrol has Brendan Fraser cast in the lead role. And they're bringing Brendan Fraser back. Okay, let's try this.
Well, once upon a time, somebody thought Birds of Prey was a good idea, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, is he going to be, like, actually in the show as an actor, or is he going to be a voice for a CG character?
From what I heard...
Because he's going to be Robot Man.
Yeah, he's Robot Man. From what I heard, he's in it.
Okay.
And whether or not it's like half and half practical and CGI or something like that, I don't know.
That'd be something that I think would be interesting. Because if it's just a voice, I think, I mean, it's not like he's a terrible actor. I mean, he's been in, you know, he's been in some really, really good movies.
And, he's good when he needs to be.
In Xeno Man. Like,
right?
All right. In Xeno Man and Georgia of the Jungle.
Nobody see Biodome? I mean.
And Biodome.
In Xeno Man. Georgia of the Jungle. Son-in-law. All right. That's all I got to talk about.
But kind of going back to the violence, like with Hawk and Dove, like, do you think that that adds to a movie? Like, say, for instance, one of the complaints with Batman versus Superman is how unabashedly violent Batman was, like, where he's gunning down people in his Batmobile, blowing cars up, obviously killing people. Like, there's no way that anybody survived any of that Batmobile destruction, at least did not lose a leg or something. I mean, you can't blow up a car full of people and not have at least one guy get killed. So, I mean, for something like that, do you think that's just their response to, okay, let's make things edgy? And do you think that hurts a character?
Well, first thing, you take a look at Batman. The things that make Batman. He hates guns because of his parents getting murdered by guns. And he has a cape. Okay. Just saying. Now, look at Justice League. He's got a gun, no cape. They ruined Batman just by doing that alone. But the thing is, no, absolutely right on the violence aspect. I mean, violence seems to be the thing that they want to make these Batman movies super ultra violent. And again, Teen Titans, I kind of joked around, you know, with him saying the two words. But that whole trailer is something that I wouldn't show, well, my kid, I would let him see it, but if he's younger, I might not have. Yeah. So, just the trailer, you know, that's how violent, I mean, that battle with Robin against the bad guys, but that's the thing, that goes back to the DC movies. They want to put too much violence in them. Most comic book movies have some sort of violence. Heroes fight villains. That's sure. A given. But there doesn't need to be all the hacking guts and
gore. Well, I think it comes down to the character,
right?
Too, whether it's...
It makes sense if Deadpool's robbing off heads.
Heads, something, you know, talking about the Marvel Netflix series, something like The Punisher...
Oh, yeah.
You're going to expect that to be gory and bloody and extremely violent because that is Frank Castle's backstory. That is appropriate to his character. Batman's in that gray area, and then Superman is supposed to be, you know, Mr. Apple Pie.
Sure. But Batman's always been a bone breaker for sure.
Yeah.
But the second that he starts pulling out fully automatic weapons and shooting, you know, anti-tank rounds out of his car, like that's
it becomes
that's
a different Batman.
Exactly.
Well, it kind of goes back to that same argument that he uses in Under the Red Hood with the Jason Todd storyline, and Jason Todd's trying to look at Batman and he's holding the Joker and saying, "You've let him live this whole time. After what he's done to all these people, after what he's done to me, somebody that you're supposed to have cared for, you've let him live this whole time. Why? What is going on in your head?" And Batman just basically looks at him and says, "I could do all the same stuff that they're doing right back to them." He's basically saying, "I can kill these guys with the snap of my fingers." No, you know, don't even bring that back. "I can kill these guys right now, but if I do that, if I go that far, I might not never come back."
Right.
You know,
right.
So I might be just as bad as they are, so I have to stay disciplined, I have to watch myself.
That's so correct. And if you make a Batman movie where you see him mowing people down, you know, criminals, like, you know, or even just statistically branding them so that they'll be murdered in prison, you know, which also is murder, you know, and it's even more premeditated that way, like, then the idea that he doesn't kill the Joker becomes ridiculous. because you've seen him kill tons
of guys.
Merchandise for.
Yeah, he has no problem killing Johnny Henchman, but Joker, we can't kill him.
Joker, it's like, It's this thing where there are people who are really insecure about comics, and they feel like they need to show, this ain't your daddy, Superman, you know, and, you know, we have to grow this guy up and have him really make a hard choice and break somebody's neck for a totally stupid, ridiculous reason that doesn't make any sense. And it's because they're afraid to embrace the source material. You know, if you look at, like something like Doctor Who, when they brought Doctor Who back in 2005, right?
Yeah.
There are a lot of things I've, you know, having been a Doctor Who nerd since 1979, there were so many things that I'm not into about what they brought back, like what came back with the show when they brought it back. But what I love is it's joyous, and it's fun, and it's positive. And I feel like, you know, Marvel doesn't have any problem making movies like that, like Ant-Man or whatever. But with DC, there's still this insecurity that, like, we have to show how grown up we are. We have to, you know, be grim and serious all the time. And I don't know.
They're so emo.
I think the perfect example of that is the first TV series Berlantiverse created, Arrow. Dark, dismal. I mean, this guy was, it was like horrible. Mm. Well, then they said The Flash. They brought The Flash. Flash is all of a sudden fun, colorful, cheery. And look how much the Arrow changed after that point forward. You know, it's like, oh, that's the way they're supposed to be. Fun. And so I think the TV section got it. I mean, the first run, Arrow, was not so much along the lines of a comic book series. But once Flash came out and they realized, oh, we're supposed to be more fun, then Arrow kind of lightened up and actually became more green. And it just really worked out well that way. I mean, it took them a while to get that. If only the movies could move forward with that.
Well, at the same time, too, I mean, when Arrow first started, it was much more along the lines of what Chris Nolan had already brought about with the Dark Knight stuff.
Yeah.
They were trying to go more towards a Chris Nolan style.
Yep.
But once again, Marvel, too. Marvel also had a little bit of a touch on that because Marvel was coming out with all their stuff that was showing fun. And they see The Flash is fun, Marvel's fun, let's try and incorporate different aspects to it. Then you get a season 3 and 4 of Arrow, and let's not go into that right now.
I gave up on Arrow. I always felt like I needed, like, an upper or something after watching an episode. Talking about, like, the Christopher Nolan, that's good for a trio of movies. You're talking about multiple seasons of a television series, and it's dark and it's depressing, and I just wanted to reach through my screen and just slap Oliver Queen on a weekly basis. Like, everything's my fault. Everything's my responsibility. I must protect everybody.
But first, I'm going to work out on the sandwich.
Trope? Yes. The trope, I just could not handle it. I was like, I'm going to take you back out in the ocean to make sure you do drown.
There's just so much piano music time, you know? It's like something happens, and it's like, all right, let's sit down and talk about it with piano music, like, in the background.
Yeah, like once they expanded the TV series to Flash and Supergirl and Legends of Tomorrow, especially Legends, I'm like, finally!
The whole season, Felicity likes you, she loves you, she hates you, she's going to divorce you, she wants to marry you again, she loves you again, she hates you again, she's in a wheelchair again, she has a magical microchip in her spine again, no, the magical microchip just got hit by some sort of EMP burst and she can't walk again, wait, now she can walk again and she loves you again, now she loves the other billionaire in the room, now suddenly she's the leader of all the females, and where's the remote?
Perfect.
And this man doesn't understand Twilight.
I thought you were describing Twilight there for a second. All right, so to kind of switch gears from DC, Marvel, Star Wars.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure there's going to not be anything controversial brought up here, but... what does everyone think about the current state of Star Wars as far as with the extra movies? We at one point we were going to get a Boba Fett and an Obi-Wan movie. Those are no longer in production or even scheduled for any kind of production at this point. Did The Last Jedi kill Star Wars?
Didn't for me.
Are you high?
I didn't have any problems with it, but I don't have this long
childhood
history that a lot of people have either. So
I think I'm with you on that because I could take or leave Star Wars, but I do like the fact that Leia is now a Disney princess. That's my only thing I really like about the new Star Wars. But Last Jedi, I don't know. It had its great moments, very great moments. Mm-hmm. But there were times when I was looking at my watch.
I personally didn't have a problem with the film. I know that they definitely have put themselves in a corner with the whole Carrie Fisher thing.
Mm-hmm. Which is not their fault.
No fault of their own. No one could have ever predicted that.
I mean, it definitely sucks that that's the last movie that she was able to work on.
They say they have, I think, a half hour of her, all new footage that was
never used
for Last Jedi, and they're not going to use any.
And The Force Awakens.
And The Force
Awakens.
Oh, did they have some of that too? Okay.
Yeah.
They said they're not going to do any CG. Now, that would be interesting if they got stuff from Force Awakens, because she's wearing totally different outfits and hair and everything, so that would be kind of interesting to how they get that in. But no CG for Carrie Fisher at all. They've committed to that. I approve of that, too.
That's the way it needs to be.
Yeah.
Because she had just died, right? And then you go to see Rogue One, and there is something that looks for all the world like the corpse of a 19-year-old Carrie Fisher.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, and Tarkin was the same way. It just feels like there's something that they can't quite get right about being human.
Right.
Just doesn't translate over. Right. You can get the look, you can get everything else, but there's just that
easily enough in CGI.
Right. There's just some kind of a spark that's missing to just carry it over the edge.
That uncanny valley is just
it's not there for close-ups yet. They shouldn't be doing close-ups. Like, maybe off in the distance, maybe the CG Tarkin could have been one of those little flickering holograph guys, but all those long close-ups, and you're just like, not buying it.
even the ship gear is, what was it, the Fast and Furious number, 712, I don't know, where Paul Walker's brother finishes that last scene for him.
Yeah.
Like, you can plainly, they tried their best, but they couldn't just quite get it just right, so they had to try it from so many different angles that when you see the sun glare off the camera, it just totally makes his face look like a hologram.
Yeah.
And what's wrong with recasting the role? We, as fans, will take it. I mean, a perfect example, Roseanne. Look at what happened when Becky left. But they recast, nobody said a word. But anyway, no.
It's worked for Bond.
Yeah, definitely for James Bond. I mean, come on. I mean, seriously, fans will accept if you recast. Okay, Carrie Fisher died. Everybody knows that. Put in another actress. Don't CGI it. Don't mess it up. Don't ruin my memories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or just don't have her in the movie at all.
Oh, yeah. That's
another one. Or just, you can make it. You can have someone like that in the movie, but not have them in the movie. Like, you can make references to them. Oh, Leia sent us on this mission. Or, oh, Leia was doing this and her ship got blown up. I mean, there's a lot of different things that you can do.
Or her son's evil and her lover died. Like, she killed herself. I just saved you 4 hours sitting uncomfortably at the movie theater. So move on. I'm just saying,
I don't know. Something about a suicidal Leia really. I think that's more unnerving than anything.
Nobody thought Robin Williams would do it, but.
Wow.
We got dark.
Yeah.
What is this, a DC movie?
right?
You know, going back to.
Thanks, Deadpool.
What you were saying about just don't have Princess Leia in it. Takes me back to why I first said, are you high, when you said, did The Last Jedi kill off Star Wars? Because Disney paid, was it $3 or $4 billion for Star Wars, right? They haven't made all that back yet, nor have they made all that they want to make from it.
I don't know. The toys alone make $2 billion a year.
That's true. But
so they probably more than made their money back with that, just because they bought that, in 2012?
Ish. Somewhere around there.
Yeah, so I'm sure through toy sales alone.
Toilet sales?
That too now. Because they got them Star Wars toilet cover seats. But I guess from a fan perspective, because there's been such a huge backlash, Solo was affected by that. Solo, I loved it. I thought it was a great film.
I thought it was a good pop.
I thought it was great. Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know what's going to happen going into it, right? You know Han's not going to die.
You know Chewie's not going to die.
You know the Falcon's not going to blow up. You know Lando's going to make it.
Yeah.
So you have all these auxiliary characters where you don't really care about anyway. Yeah. If they die, who cares? You never knew about them before today anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not, there's no risk involved.
They still managed to put a few things in there.
Sure, but at the end of the day, but it's a very safe movie overall. Like, you go into it pretty much knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So when those types of movies, you just have to focus on the story, which I thought had a pretty decent story overall.
Yeah.
But the sales were so dismal, and basically the thought was because Last Jedi left such a bad taste in people's mouths, that
it
carried over to this one.
I don't think it needed to be a May release. It should have been another Christmas release.
Hmm. See, I don't think it should be Christmas. I think it should be September to beat that September lull.
Well, maybe that too, but I don't think we needed another Star Wars.
Because there was a lot that went on. We had Black Panther.
6 months after the one we just had. Whether The Last Jedi, you know, came off good or not, I just think it was too soon for another release. Because speaking of toy sales, release it closer to Christmas time. There's all your
giant Millennium Falcon that little Billy has to have.
Exactly. people aren't buying toys for their kids in the middle of summer.
And people, I think, were pretty wore out anyway with that.
Well, yes. Yeah.
I think people were kind of wore out by movies at that point anyway, because this year alone, even before then, because as we kicked off the year with Black Panther, then there was Infinity War pretty much right after that, and I was thinking there was one in between that and Star, but anyway, you had Star Wars almost a month after Infinity War.
Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've had, you know, hit after hit after hit after hit, and then Solo comes, which is, like I said, that safe movie that, you know, it's like, okay, that's one that I think that a lot of people, it'll have probably poor movie sales, like theater sales, but will do really well on Blu-ray.
Probably.
Kudos to Disney, though, for bringing Incredibles back on all the superhero.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, like.
It only took them 14 years to do it.
Yeah.
But
I mean, why not do it at this most popular time? If that's what everybody's into and they're pushing out, you know, I've not seen it yet. I saw Jurassic Park instead.
I'm sorry.
How do you feel about that decision? I'm actually not being as confrontational as it sounds. I'm curious.
I personally liked Jurassic Park only because my kids saw it with me. Yeah. They were terrified of the dinosaurs. But the movie, But the reaction from my kids, priceless.
Worth it.
Yep.
Incredibles 2 is really, really, really good.
Yes, it is.
They couldn't overcome what a great surprise the first one was. You know, you just can't go back to that well again, but I was shocked by how good it was. It's full of fun and I don't know. I really enjoyed it. It's just a really
The music's good really
movie.
Good too.
Yeah.
It's the same guy that did the music for Doctor Strange and Spider-Man Homecoming, so he knows his way around superhero scores.
Well, speaking of doctors, Doctor Who is making a comeback.
Yes,
he
is.
Was it next month?
The rumor going around that I haven't shared it on social media. I shared it in a private chat on Facebook because I don't know exactly where, but there's an image floating around from some, looks like it might be like an Entertainment Weekly magazine or maybe a TV guide or something, that says that Doctor Who, at least in the UK, is going to return September 23rd, which is actually Sunday, so it's going to be supposedly moved to Sundays.
Mm. Okay.
So, but I've only seen that one image, and I have no, like, source to back that up, so it could be doctored, no pun intended. But supposedly we're going to get some sort of announcement from the Doctor Who camp as early as this week, possibly?
No, as far as the... right, I know.
I mean, seriously.
Well, we've all been waiting for Doctor Who since Christmas. It's like, give me my Doctor Who.
So, as far as, like, Jodie Whittaker taking over the role, I'm not really familiar with her as an actress. Is that a good choice? Are there better choices?
She was awesome in Broadchurch.
Yeah.
In Broadchurch, she was awesome.
Yeah.
That's about the only thing I've seen.
Which also had David Tennant in it, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, she seems to be a pretty capable actress, and she seems to be really embracing the the fan community. They were at San Diego Comic-Con, and she and the rest of the crew seemed to be having a lot of fun, and she seems to know what she's getting herself into, so, which is a good thing.
Oh, yeah, because the fans are 100% behind it, right?
Oh,
there's
absolutely.
Not one complaint. At least I've not seen any complaints on the internet.
We go through this circle every time a regeneration happens.
Yeah.
The current doctor says they're leaving. Then the fan community goes up in arms and speculates for weeks and months on who the new doctor is going to be. They announce said new doctor. Doesn't matter who it is, whether it's somebody they know or don't know, whether they're male or female, and the fan community loses their collective minds. Then that doctor debuts. They get their first season, and everybody's like, I love this doctor. And then when it gets to the point where that person says that they're leaving the show, the cycle continues.
Yep. Yeah, Matt Smith was too young.
Peter Capaldi was too old.
Yeah, too old, even though the first Doctor Who was an elderly
right.
guy.
He and Peter Capaldi were the same age when they got the role as the Doctor. Nope. They were both 55.
Yeah.
And don't forget, the other thing the fans can't always argue about, and thanks to the 50th anniversary special for that, is which one's going to come back and play the role again for another 6 or 7 series? Because they already established he has to revisit faces, so when is this going to... It's like, guys, I don't think that's actually...
They can come back for a one-off, but what a lot of people do not realize is playing the role of the Doctor is very physically demanding. Matt Smith was the youngest person to ever get the role in the history of the show.
By far.
He was a young guy. He was a footballer, so he was, an athlete in good physical shape. And a lot of people don't realize after his... second season, he had to have knee surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Because running around as the doctor completely destroyed his knees. Even someone as young as him. So the doctor is not an easy role to play, even if you're in good physical shape.
Before Matt Smith had the role as being the youngest, it was Peter Davison, wasn't it?
Yes.
Peter Davison had it. I love Peter Davison. Just going to put it out there. Mm-hmm. I thought his doctor was fantastic. And he actually popped me in an interview I read online. Somebody asked him at a convention, they said, what's the weirdest thing a Doctor Who fan has ever given
you? Oh, yes.
What's the weirdest thing a fan of Doctor Who has ever given you in your life?
A granddaughter.
Yeah, he said grandchildren. Because his daughter married David
Tennant. Yep.
So it's like, I can understand that's the weirdest thing.
Yes.
All right, I got a question for the Doctor Who fans on here. Okay, the big deal, of course, was, oh my God, it's a woman. Are they doing this for a gimmick, do you think? Or is there some legitimate reason for this?
I think there's a legit... they will find a reason to explain it in-universe.
Mm-hmm.
They've already been laying the groundwork for it.
True.
Since Who came back. There's been hints and nods. Even before Missy... before the Master regenerated into a woman, and we got Michelle Gomez as probably my favorite iteration of the Master ever. She's just brilliant. But things...
That's a fighting word right there.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
She
her comedic timing though is just fabulous. So.
Yeah, she plays a great villain.
Yeah, but during Matt Smith's time, I can't remember what episode it is, and they name drop the Corsair, which is another Time Lord from the classic era, and mentions that the Corsair has regenerated into a woman. So,
well, there was also, when they were on Gallifrey, at mm-hmm. one point, the Gallifreyan commander, I think it was, the general, that he got shot and then regenerated into a woman right in front of everybody, and everybody's looking at him like, he's weird. What are you looking at? Get back to it. Find him or something.
Yeah. Heck, they even did it in the Red Nose Day special. Fatal Death.
Oh, yeah, it's like
that's 17, 17 different doctors in a 5-minute episode. Yeah.
I mean, it's not canon, but, it's still, it's there. So they've been laying that ground.
And I think that is why people think, and I do kind of think it is part gimmick. It's because they're sitting down, okay, how can we get attention to this?
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's definitely part of it. But also I think part of the problem is that they're laying that groundwork, but they're doing it in such subtle ways that your more common viewer, who's not as eagle-eyed as you or me would be, are not necessarily picking up on that, and they see something like this, and they're like, oh, well, they're just doing it for ratings or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think there is a little bit of that in there, but at the same time, you're right. It's not something that hasn't happened before.
Yeah.
It's just they don't...
And I think it'll be a good change in dynamic of the show. I mean, as much as I love Doctor Who, and I will watch Doctor Who till the day I die, and... You know, not all Who is good Who, but I will take any Doctor Who over no Doctor Who, and I know bad Doctor Who because my favorite Doctor is the most hated Doctor on pretty much every poll, anytime people are polled.
I know where you're going with this.
Sixth Doctor, thank you very much.
Okay, but is it the TV version or the version from audios and novels?
Both.
All right.
I love the Sixth Doctor in every form I can get him.
So. Well, that's Colin Baker?
Yes, that's okay. Colin Baker. So.
How do you feel about the movie?
I love Tom Baker.
No, Colin. Baker. Colin Baker.
Colin Baker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No one will disagree that Tom Baker's great.
But, with the Doctor being a guy... There's always been a particular dynamic that goes with it. Is he's a guy who, you know, he's usually automatically respected because he's male. Of course, he also likes to walk into the room and act like he's the smartest person there, whether he isn't or not. So that's a personality thing. The companions are almost always female. So now that the Doctor is a woman, now we can start having storylines where they walk into a situation and she's not necessarily going to be expected to be the authority figure on some technological thing or some species or something or other, because she's probably going to get looked down on because she's female. It's unfortunate, but that's probably a storyline that we're going to see. And, I mean, granted, right now the TARDIS team is a combination of male and female, but it's two guys and one girl as her companions. So that's going to change the dynamic, too.
I'm totally expecting that joke to happen. As soon as they announced that it was going to be a woman taking the role, I'm expecting the Doctor to go to one of the planets that they've been to before, and, you know, they step out of the TARDIS, and somebody who knows him walks up to one of the male companions and goes, oh, you changed your face again.
Yeah.
And then she's the real Doctor standing back here like, no, it's over here. Yes, I see you over
there. Two hearts over here.
Please help me.
I thought you were going to make a joke about her only getting 75% of the screen time.
And I do think, going back to your question, that it is a little bit, I agree, it is a little bit of both. It is a new direction that they need to go in, and it's a little bit of a gimmick at the same time, because you're also looking at a television series that has been on the air since November of 1963. You are over 50 years right now, and you're going on 55, and you've got to take a breath. You got to stop, take a breath, and look and say, all right, what possible way can we make this any different than the last time? Can we do something that hasn't been done in all 50 years in the one television movie, in all of the TV episodes, in the audio dramas and everything? How can we find the one thing that hasn't been done to this character? And this is what they chose. I'm pretty interested to see where it goes.
I mean, that's pretty much all you can do at this point, because of all the changes. He's been young, old, middle-aged, short, tall. I mean, he's literally been everything other than female and not white. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, so now that is female, you know, where do they go from there? Like, after this Doctor's done, as inevitably all Doctors will be, you know, who will they kick it off to? Another woman, do you think? Or
I'm still waiting for him to regenerate with no head, like Chris Eccleston said he was going to do. I could have two heads, could have no head. Don't know. It's a bit dodgy this way.
But speaking of the TV movie, Paul McGann, I think of all the Doctors, male or female, I think he's the one that kind of got a raw deal with that. Because as far as Doctor Who goes, I kind of like the movie. It's very cheesy. It's kind of a guilty pleasure for me.
Yeah.
But it's very good. And then when they did the Day of the Doctor, that 50th anniversary, they had a couple shorts, and then they brought him back as the Doctor.
Yeah.
It was only like a 10, 15-minute video, but it was fantastic.
Yeah.
And it kind of bridges that gap between him and the War Doctor.
Yeah.
A little inside joke at the beginning. I'm a doctor, but probably not the one you're expecting.
Yeah.
Nobody saw that.
But that was a great reaction on her part, though, because once she was all about going with him until she found out that he was in a TARDIS.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I'd rather die than spend a minute with you, and that's what she does.
Yeah.
But I always liked him as the doctor. I enjoy the big the audio recordings. Who does that?
Big Finish.
Yeah. Always does great performances. I wish they could go back and do a series, or maybe it's like a web series with him as the doctor, just for a few like half hour episodes. It doesn't have to be a full series or anything, but just something, because he's a great actor in his own right.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to have only gotten that movie, I think kind of stinks for him. He deserves more.
I still say he had one of the best TARDIS interiors as well.
Absolutely.
I love that one from
that sort of Victorian sort of, yeah, he had that nice like leather chair and stuff. I mean, that looked great.
All of it was very like he looked so doctor-y. Like, he was like, if you fed all the characteristics of what the doctor's look is into a computer, it would spit out something like how he looked, right?
Right.
And the way the TARDIS was. If you could spend a lot of money on the TARDIS, well, it'd probably be kind of Victorian. It would have, you know, steampunk angles to it and a library and all. Like, all of it seemed to, like, spring from the mind of a fan. And, like, that and him as the doctor are so good that they've kept me coming back to that TV movie, even though I feel like the rest of it is 100% flaming hot garbage. You know, like, it's so bad. It's so bad that, like, you honestly want those idiots from Mystery Science Theater 3000 to come along and start talking over it so you don't have to watch it anymore. Right?
I almost wonder if they would have premiered that on the BBC, because that was the point of that was to hopefully bring that on as an American Doctor Who show.
Yeah, it was a backdoor pilot, what it was supposed to be. Yeah.
So I wonder with the look and everything. Well, see, I don't know, though, but if they would have premiered that in the UK, for instance, would they have tweaked it any different?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Or would that look have been accepted? Because that was a very European look.
Yeah.
All the way through, from like the TARDIS to his clothes, he had the frills and everything. I mean, very posh, you know, very, very Englishy doctor.
He looked
you know?
He walked out of like a Charlotte Bronte novel or something.
Well, we're right. He's like a Byronic romantic hero. And they were, you know, trying to go for the heartthrob thing. And, you know, they probably did all right with that.
Yeah.
It was just the script.
He's not my cup of tea, but,
And Eric Roberts did not do justice to the... Yeah.
I don't know why, but every time I see...
I'm dressing for the occasion.
Every time I see that movie, I think of Interview with a Vampire, with the whole posh vampires thing.
Yeah.
Every time I get that, I'm like... So I never really cared for the movie in any shape or form.
Makes that apparently the Master's now the T-800.
Yes.
Sunglasses, long black trench coat.
The Master's has gone through.
Yeah.
Gone through some issues. I mean, he spent how many part of a season as a essentially a overcooked piece of chicken?
Yeah, I was gonna say. Yeah, he was basically a blob for a while.
Yeah, so.
The one thing about that movie too, really quickly, that I will give it credit for is it gave us one of the most hardcore in-your-face regeneration sequences with Sylvester McCoy.
Yeah.
And he just steps out of a TARDIS. He's not stepped out for 5 seconds and gets riddled with bullets
by
from a Chinese gang.
Yeah.
And then suddenly he's trying to tell them on the surgery table that, no, there's two hearts. And they're like, no, this is a mistake. And they basically kill him on the table. So that's why I've never seen one done like that before. That was hardcore to me.
Yeah, that's correct. Good point of view.
And it's canon, too, which, I mean, usually when you have, like, TV movies or kind of things like this, they don't really, they kind of, like, retcon it out of the way, but even to this day, it's still official canon, like, that that happened.
Yep.
Which is really crazy, considering they pay absolutely no attention to it whatsoever, but as far as anything else. But
it's a rights issue, because I think Universal still owns the rights to the TV movie, so when they brought Paul McGann's Doctor back for that minisode for the 50th, right before he drinks the elixir to help him regenerate, and he rattles off all of his companions from Big Finish, Grace isn't mentioned because they don't own the rights to Grace, because Universal does.
Oh,
so.
I didn't know that. I thought it was all...
No.
Physician, heal thyself.
Yep.
I love that. the internet lost their collective minds when that dropped, because nobody saw that coming at all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because when he pops open through that door, says, I'm a doctor. I mean,
yeah,
my mind was blown. I'm like, holy cow.
And I was like, I'm like messaging like every Doctor Who fan I know on Facebook, like tagging them all like, go watch this right now. Do not look at anything else. You will get spoiled. Go!
Yeah, because they do that brilliant twist where they hold the title sequence until after that moment.
Yes.
Then they go into the credits. Yeah, that was an amazing moment.
Of course, before that, you had the cool moment where you got to watch the five-ish Doctors with Davidson, McCoy, and Colin Baker, and you know McGann is there, and he's like, "I'm in. Let's try and find a way into it." And then suddenly he's just not there anymore.
Yeah.
Well, he said work permitting.
Yeah, he said work permitting, and then he just disappears. So then he shows up in that. You're like, okay, that's why he's not there anymore, because he got a job and they didn't.
Which is why our podcast name is the Five-ish Fan.
Yeah. Oh, look at the one I'm playing with that. Yes. Thought we figured that out or something.
Thank you, Peter Davison.
All right, guys. Well, we are pretty much at time. Let's kind of go around the table. Just any kind of final thoughts on... Well, let's just kind of wrap up. How has ITC 2018 gone for everybody? I've had a blast. The best thing I did today was I went upstairs. I bought an Infinity Gauntlet. I brought it down, and everybody has been coming down to play with that. And I've been so happy to share that with everybody. So that's been my big memory for today. But I'll let you guys take it away.
Isaac, you got something to start with? We'll start from
I don't have anything to start with, bro. I've been smiling the entire time.
Dude. Well, I think it's been great. This is my first non-Chicago convention to go to. I live in Chicago, and I just go to the ones there because I'm a very lazy man. this has been great. It's been really nice to come down here and seeing the crowd, like the fact that it was already down the street and around the corner and everything before it even opened. Like, for me, it's been the people. It's been really great to meet so many nice people. And this is also my first time behind a table. Like, I was at the Nerd Up table trying to sell my light boxes. So this is my first time on the other side of that. Usually I'm just a ticket-holding fan at these events. And it was really fun to just be talking to people and meeting people as they came up and checked it out. Nobody bought anything, but that's okay. I had a really good time. Gave out some business cards. It's been a great experience. This has really been fun. And especially knowing that Horror Hounds is going on the same weekend, you guys had a terrific turnout here, and it's been really nice.
I think the best way I can describe how the Indiana Toy and Comic Expo goes was just sitting there, you know, us podcasters in Podcaster Alley, we were right there as people were walking into the building, basically. And the nice thing is to watch people walk in, turn around and look a couple times at all the stuff going on, and then the smile. You know, huge smile. Yeah. And then it stays on their faces for the rest of the show. It's like, that's what it's about right there. And
are you sure that wasn't them coming in and then the air conditioning hit?
That might help too.
A little out of column A, a little out of column B, right?
But then,
I know it was for me.
it was just a remarkable thing. And of course, you know, the first thing they're greeted with is R2-D2, Stormtroopers, Dark Vader. They hate it when you say that, by the way. If you go by and say the 501st, go up and say, hey, is that Dark Vader? They'll love you. Anyway, but no, it's fun to watch the smiles come in. And again, with Tim, and I'm sure you guys, for this one, it's first time being behind a table and actually watching the stuff come in rather than moving around and making it happen. So it's good experience here.
I don't have any complaints. This is not my first time tabling at an event by any means, but I've been to this show several times. It's my first time tabling at this event, but I don't have any complaints. My only issue is my own personal issues that I'm just very tired because I overscheduled myself this weekend. But that's not ITC, so that's all on me.
You weren't too tired to use table as a verb, and I think that's awesome. There you
go. When it comes down to it, we've had such a great time here, the ITCE. This is our first time behind a table at this particular event. We were also working PopCon Indy several months ago and got to do some stuff like that. But just being able to be here in this environment, it's like Christmas morning for you, because we're all living our own separate lives throughout the years, still loving our chosen fandom, still loving what it is that we love to geek out over, but when we all get a chance to come together on one weekend or one day or however long it is, it feels like waking up on Christmas morning, running down and seeing all the gifts under the tree that Santa left, because you know you can be yourself without any reservations, without anybody judging you, and it's some of the best feeling that you can ever have.
You're here.
And you get some of the best memories that maybe when you tell them back, people aren't going to understand, but that's okay because you understand. Like, I can tell people that I was in the middle of a dance party that featured about 6 Deadpools and 10 Spider-Men, and they got no idea what I'm talking about, but that's okay. I can say I walked down the street with a Ghostbuster, and his proton pack was all lit up and making noise. Anybody else says, well, that's a bit kiddish, isn't it? That's a bit living like a kid or a child. And I go right back to one of my absolute favorite Tom Baker quotes. What's the point of being grown up if you can't be childish sometimes?
Yep.
Woo! Well,
well, see, for me, you know, I'm here. My kids are at home with my wife. No, just kidding. I can't wait till they're... See, I'm so much of an adult child, I can't be responsible and look after them, so they have to stay home. Because, like he was talking about Christmas morning, I've seen all the toys up there that I wanted for Christmas morning that, yes, we couldn't afford back then when they were $10 at Hill's department store, and now they're like triple the value, and I ate my life even more. No, I'm just kidding. But it's so fun to come to things like this and to, like Jake said, to see people. Like, my favorite thing is to see the cosplayers. And then you see, like, unfortunately, there's times you see where some of them work out really well. The Chewbacca was one of my favorite costumes I saw today, and the Beauty and the Beast couple. Mm-hmm. Love their costumes. And then there's some cosplayers that are just a little bitter, because I saw the Little Mermaid group, and I said, hey, can I get a picture of you guys? Love Disney movies. They said no. Like, I was like, okay. Broke my heart, but I moved on. But it's fun, you know, when you have so many different things, like, you know, we spoke about Doctor Who, you know, the Marvel movies. We were talking about wrestling at the table earlier, and you just start rambling off something, and you're like, next thing you know, your group goes from 2 people to like 60 sitting around
talking.
And all those topics, you probably knew about 10% of that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I knew nothing about Doctor Who.
That's okay.
But I might check this out if I get. I don't know. Is it on Netflix? I don't internet either.
It used to be. Like, not no more.
No, like, it's on Amazon Prime.
My Twitter says I live under a rock because it's true. I don't internet. I have Twitter because I get bored at work. And then Jake asked me to be on this podcast, and I was like, yeah, sure. And next thing you know, then it's like, you know, I'm the devil's advocate, I guess, sitting here when I'm like, I think I told everybody this story. We were talking about superheroes, and he said, he was talking about Green Lantern. I was like, oh, Green Lantern's dumb. He's got a ring. He says everything Green Lantern does. Like, I told you he was awesome. I censored myself because there were kids in here, because apparently I have to watch what I say because I have a foul mouth.
Well, yeah.
I'm just giving you guys a hard time. I've had fun. I'm glad to be a part
of this. Like you said. It's like you said, I read the book, you watch the movie.
Yeah. Or I read the spoiler alerts and pretend I was there. No, I don't do that.
That works too.
Yeah. So you got a laugh out there too.
Yeah. I ate a lot of paint chips when I was a child.
All right, guys. Well, on that note,
I'm Isaac Wilson. You can follow me at EvilBacon88 on Twitter. It's like evil, but with a B. And I don't really have anything else to plug because my YouTube channel doesn't. I don't have web content. I'm sorry.
I'm Tim Coker. You can buy my awesome stuff on Delightbox on Etsy at the Delightbox store. And I'm also on the Nerd Up podcast with this guy here.
And I want to know why all of a sudden you started talking about the light box. Your voice got sexy.
Because I'm very sexy.
Oh, okay. I'm Guilty Wilson, and with Nerd Up Podcast, and just one of the things we have fun with.
I'm Derek Cumberland with the Indiana Toy and Comic Expo Podcast. You can check us out on Facebook, the Indiana Toy Comic, or ITCE Podcast, what we call that. We also have the official Indiana Toy and Comic Expo page. And of course, you can find us on pretty much any media outlet, iTunes, Stitcher, just basically any audio platform out there.
And I'm Rachel. I'm with the Five-ish Fangirls podcast, and you can find links to all of our stuff on our website, which is thefiveishfangirls.com, and we're everywhere doing everything. And we're currently having a giveaway on our website, so go enter it.
Here we go. All right, my name is Jake Johnson.
I'm Travis Weir.
And we represent the world's almost finest podcast on the FNX Network. You can find us at fnx.network. And, of course, we've got the table out there with all of our social media stuff. And you can come up. We'll give you a business card. We'd love to talk to all you guys and see what you think about this event and your choice of fandom. And there's more than just our podcast episodes on the FNX Network. We also do written reviews on modern or classic movies. I know I'm working on one right now that, and I promised I was going to give a little bit of a couple hints at what it is I'm working on, because I already stumped somebody at this table for a while when I told them the one I'm working on.
You got two of them.
I did. I get two of them. So let's see if anybody else can figure this out. I'm working on a written review right now that's going to be released in October that features Ant-Man teaming with 1960s Blofeld to battle back against a homicidal maniac in a Captain Kirk mask to save a baby. That's all I'm going to say right now.
It's got awesome.
Well, like we say at the end of each and every episode,
stay nerdy. All right, thanks, everyone.